Hey everybody, it's Sunny. I just wanted to let you know that you're listening on the iTunes feed. Go sign up at the Patreon, subbeacon.com. You'll easily find us. This week we're talking about Everything Everywhere All at Once, a movie that JBL and Sunny liked and Vic did not, surprisingly. I'm surprised by that. He did not like it. Make sure you listen all the way to the end. A little bit of drama there at the end, but everything's fine, I think. I don't know. Anyway, go sign up to Patreon, subbeacon.com. You could have listened to this weeks ago. You would have seen what all the fuss was about. And enjoy the show.
Devlin, I'm not your husband. I'm another version of him from another universe. I'm here because we need your help.
Very busy today. No time to help you.
Across the multiverse, I've seen thousands of Evelyns. You can access all their memories, their emotions, even their skills. There's a great evil spreading throughout the many verses. And you may be your only chance of stopping it.
Don't make me fight you. I am really good.
I don't believe you.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis along with Jonathan Vilas and Sunny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? Happy Easter, happy Passover, happy Ramadan. Sunny, I get confused which one you celebrate.
All of them.
Oh. Everywhere. All at once.
Speaking of which, sorry.
As a Unitarian.
Oh, then you would celebrate everything.
All faith traditions.
That's right. That's right. I've been inside a Unitarian church.
I've been to a Unitarian wedding.
Okay. Well, let me. You know what I noticed, and then you. First.
I've got a friend who's the editor of the Unitarian Universalist magazine.
Wow.
He is the editor in chief of the whatever their magazine
Universalist?
Is. Unitarian Universalist.
This was in Maine. And it was an old church. Unitarians have been around for a long time, vis-a-vis America. But inside, they have all the symbols that go across. Above
the wedding I was at was because
it
was
a coexist bumper sticker.
Basically, yes, Sonny, it's coexist.
Basically, it was a very Catholic girl and a very Jewish guy, and so they decided to get married with neither.
That happens,
but also both. And so the Unitarian ceremony, this Unitarian pastor who kind of looked like a hobbit, was gender indeterminate. They just did all of these, like they lit a candle together. They poured two colors of sand into a bottle together. And then they poured two types of wine together. All of these weird
symbols. I hope they broke glass.
And I just thought to myself, they're really hitting for all the. They're going to try to touch all four.
They're going to cover all the bases just in case. Just in case. Anyway,
it was lovely. It was a lovely. It was a lovely wedding, and I am sure the two of them are still very happy.
Good, Sonny. How are you? What's going on? What can you tell us?
By the time folks are listening to this, I will be on the grounds in Disney World.
Are you staying in Star Wars?
No, I can't remember exactly where we're
Which,
staying.
By the time, it's pretty good. I don't. It's not a really crowded time, is it, this time of year?
I think it's...
Well, they'll find
I
out.
I think we'll see. I think it's always kind of crowded.
Easter?
I think it's always kind of crowded.
Is this technically spring break, too? Is this spring break
for no, some? No, spring break for... I mean, it's not for us. I'm sure somebody somewhere has spring break.
Spring break week, in my county.
But in Texas, we already had spring break. Had spring break in like March.
Question.
Yeah.
I assume it's one of the busiest times of the year, Easter time in Disney World. Do you have bracelets?
Yeah. So we have like four
magic bands.
Bracelets.
Magic bands.
Microchips implanted in the back of your neck?
No, they just activate the COVID vaccines when I walk through the gate. It's all good. My lovely long suffering wife has organized this whole thing, so I'm planning on just following her around the park. So We've got bracelets. We've got like the four wristbands. We've all got, you know, a wristband. There's some sort of app that she has downloaded, yes, that like lets us plan the different rides.
You can monitor what the wait times are.
We have like two fast passes or something. Mm-hmm.
What is your kingdom order that you're doing?
We're doing Magic Kingdom the first day. We're doing Hollywood Studios the second day, which is the that's where the Star Wars,
that's the big one,
is, and also like cars stuff.
Oh, Star they do Wars a cars thing. I thought that was just Disneyland. That's exciting.
I guess. Right. And then we're doing Magic Kingdom again the third day. So we're there for 3 days. So we're doing Magic Kingdom 2 days. You figure we can't do everything at Magic Kingdom in one day.
No.
2 days.
Obviously.
No.
2 days would probably be.
When we were there many, many years ago, the kids were so small they didn't know any better. So I said, let's just do Magic Kingdom. And they thought it was amazing because they don't know that there are other things. Yeah. Now, of course, they're wise to it. And
Disney World is very intimidating. There's too much stuff there. Like, it's I did all the planning. I am not a Disney person outside of the fact that I generally enjoy Disney products, Star Wars, Marvel, you know, the cartoons, the various Pixar cartoons. Like, I like Disney fine, but I'm not a Disney person.
Yes, Jonathan and I actually know, we know somebody who, a former contributor to where we used to work, who is big Disney person. To be discussed off air, but you know who I'm talking about?
I'd have to
person was also
this.
Big on Lord of the Rings.
You're policy describing. Person. You could be describing me.
Yeah, I like that. That really,
Sonny,
really doesn't
tell you.
Narrow it down.
Judging by the ages of your children, the very first place you go when you get into the Magic Kingdom, you make a beeline for the Hall of Presidents because that is electrifying.
Time is of the essence.
Do try to get to the Magic Kingdom before it opens.
We are. That's
so that you can be there for the opening ceremony. Because the opening ceremony where they come in on the train, because they've got a real train and everything, that's super cool.
Have
you ever been to a Disney store for the opening ceremony?
No. Like the one in the mall?
The one in the mall. Every Disney store, when they open, does like a whole magic thing. And if you happen to be there, they'll like rope your kids. They're like, do you want to work the magic to open our store? And it is
like
that,
like every day at 10 a.m.?
Yes. Every single day at 10 a.m. Disney
Somebody
store.
Somebody kill me.
Again.
From The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's like the Itchy and Scratchy Land.
Right. It is like Itchy and Scratchy Land.
Every hour on the hour. It's New Year's Eve. That sounds amazing.
But if you've got a four-year-old kid, it's, you know, like they think to themselves in this giant impersonal mall, there was a store that was waiting just for me to work my magic.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Where you are staying, is it monorail accessible or launch accessible? Because there's a boat too, right?
I think we have to take a shuttle to the Magic Kingdom, I think.
Oh, so you're in the Disney World properties, but not in one of the resorts.
No, we're at a Disney World resort, but it's not on the monorail. There are other resorts, so you're like
the Hilton or something.
It's one of the
further out
Disney. It's just not like on the monorail. It's
the far moon of Endor.
we had all our choices. I don't know. There are like five different. This is what I'm talking about. There are too many options. There are like five different Disney properties. So like because we're staying at one of them, we can go before it opens.
Well, that's key. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, I mean, they may peter out in the afternoon because if it's a long day, depending on like what the crowds are like and things like that.
I assume that they're going to be asleep by like five.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and then when they're out, they are conked out. Yeah. But for me, I planned the whole thing because I'm the travel planner in the family. And the one challenge I had, and it was a wonderful trip, but the one challenge I had was meals. Because it's like, you know, you do have a meal plan, but I didn't. You know the meal plan, JV? I did not do it.
No, it's not really worth it because there are lines everywhere for the meals. It just sort of catches catch can.
Yeah, and it's okay.
You got to get them on Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Oh.
Because that is the best training wheels roller coaster ever.
Yes.
It's the perfect level of thrilling but fun for kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So your kids are probably too young to do Space Mountain, Santino.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But the Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Ooh. My smallest is under 40 inches.
Yeah. Oh, right. The
which
height
creates thing. Some yeah. creates Thunder some
Mountain.
Issues.
Do Thunder Mountain.
Okay.
Okay. Not
and
counting
the Haunted
not,
Mansion.
Yes.
Where you get
I
the
would
Ghost
say,
of Eddie Murphy floating around.
But, no. Wait a minute. Stop. Stop.
Ghost Eddie Murphy doing raw.
I love. I love of all those rides, the Haunted Mansion is my favorite. But there's no ghost.
I thought you
Eddie
liked
Murphy,
Ariel's Grotto.
Were you riding in a shell? Yeah, that was. It's that I've done that one as well. That
I didn't,
used to
I didn't
be,
realize that was an
I
actual
believe
ride.
Ariel's
I
Grotto.
Thought that was a joke.
I believe Ariel's Grotto is used to be where 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was.
It was. Ah. That is correct.
Okay.
That's right. How about Jungle Cruise? Have they redone Jungle Cruise post Rock or no?
Oh, that's a good question.
Or is it
You'll
still the OG?
I'll let you guys know because I'm sure that is a ride that we can do with.
I
the
hope
kids,
it's the
so.
OG, yeah. But you know they. I don't know. They a lot of these things. Pirates of the Caribbean.
I'm just hoping they have some free guy stuff. First,
what was that, Sonny?
I'm just hoping they have some free guy rides.
When I did a long time ago, the old Pirates of the Caribbean is great, and then when we went back with the kids, it was Johnny Depp. Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah,
I don't know if they're still
and then
about
the Amber Heard.
Yeah,
the
now Amber it's the Heard. Amber Heard.
That's a special.
It's actually he's chasing Amber Heard around.
Right. Right. Because they actually removed that because that
yeah,
was,
I'm sure.
Know, they,
I'm sure. You know, it's funny because that's still in the movie. That's like there's like a shot in the movie in the first one where they actually one. Have that. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that's not allowed.
And then are you gonna
too rapey?
Are you going to go outside of Disney? Go to like Wet n Wild?
No, no, we're not doing. We're not doing any of the. We're
Splash,
not doing like
Splash Mountain USA.
Yeah. We're not well, doing any of the one. Like. We're saying if my land. Goal is to never set foot on any property that is outside of like the police zone of Disney. Like yeah. I don't want to go, and I don't want to risk going anywhere where
well,
Disney is not in charge,
and you could get groomed.
Yeah. I mean, that's the goal. Yeah.
Let us know how the Mulan ride is.
I'm excited for the labor. Protests. I assume there will be protests. It should be fine. I'm leaving all of the planning up to. I'm mostly muscle at this point, just grabbing the children anytime they try and wander off.
Yeah,
they have lockers when you first go into the Magic Kingdom, and so depending on how much gear you've got. For like $2, you can just get a locker and stash everything there.
We did not.
It's not like we're bringing like.
Well, I don't know.
We're not going to bring.
We did not do strollers.
Are you going to bring wipes?
We did
a backpack.
We had no
water,
strollers.
Sunscreen.
We're renting a stroller there for the park because Charlie's still small enough that his legs will get tired after like
and
2 hours.
You don't
want to
just carry him.
Yeah, because I carried. God, no. I carried our daughter.
God no. That would be a nightmare.
So Shannon and I used to go to Disney World once a year together.
Does this mean you are technically Disney
before we had
people
kids?
Then? Technically, would you consider yourself? Did you have like membership privileges?
You got to be a member of the Disney Vacation Club to really be a Disney person, I think. Right? You have to have signed on for the Disney Vacation Club.
Right.
And we have friends who are full in Disney. Like when you're in their house, the only Sonos channel they stream is the Disney Channel. Like they. Yeah. They do Disney, you know, 10 times a year. I have to say, we had so much fun doing it without kids that the prospect of doing it with kids seems kind of horrible.
Well, I heard that sort. Oh, so you haven't done it with you haven't gone with
have
kids?
Never done I with kept, kids I because I it can't possibly as much be as much fun as it was without kids.
Well, it depends. That's
believe
right.
me, and it could not possibly be as much fun.
With all the
figures well, plus you've got like
happening.
You've got like 17 really... children, so it would cost like $1 million a day.
It
so
might be
that,
really expensive.
Yeah, and you know you can also do audiences with various characters too. Mickey Mouse.
How about Belle?
Princesses. Yes,
could you get an audience with Belle?
I did many of the princesses. I mean,
I think they're still all socially distanced. I think you can't like go and hug.
You can now go up to Mickey Mouse. They said,
The thing I'm most excited for, obviously, is Star Wars Land, which you know, sounds like. But like my kids haven't. My oldest has watched Star Wars once.
Yoda.
They do love Baby Yoda, so maybe there will be some Baby Yoda stuff. But like It's not like they've watched The Mandalorian.
Are you going to buy your kids each one of the lightsabers that you use to go around the... And you buy the special mystery crystals and maybe you get the rare black crystal.
And then you're
crystal.
Dragging them everywhere, by the way. After
No. But we are doing the build a droid thing. We didn't do build lightsabers, but they have like a build a droid.
Huge mistake.
It's like build a little...
No, you need to get them each lightsaber so they can beat the crap out of each other with them.
See, that's exactly what we're trying to avoid.
I would build IG-88. That'd be my droid. Assassin droid. Oh, and don't forget, Sonny, Avatar, which is, people say, John Podhoretz said, most amazing ride of all time.
Wait, is that in Hollywood Studios?
It might be Animal Kingdom.
I don't know.
Is it now
Disney's
Animal Kingdom? How would the Avatar fit into Animal Kingdom?
I don't know. They just, that's
because it's like Jungle Planet?
Yes.
Yes.
That's where they start. Okay. JVL, good luck, Sonny. JVL, what is going on with you?
Big news. Huge news. Mm. Had our first game today.
Oh, wait a minute. What was the one before? Was it scrimmages?
Rain out. So we've been practicing for, this was week 3.
That's right. It was a long, rainy week before.
We had a rain out last week, so we missed our first game. And we played, I won't say the name of the school, but a very rich private school.
Mm-hmm.
$46,000 a year.
Wow.
For the middle school tuition, not the high school. For the middle school, the high school gets more expensive. And this is a K-12 place.
Yeah. I want to throw names, but we won't throw names. Okay.
So a very, very large school, so big that they, in fact, have two middle school teams. One of them features a young fellow whose father is currently a starting shortstop in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's not fair.
And we show up with our team that is half 5th and 6th graders and is 40% has never played baseball at any level before 3 weeks ago. And we're sitting, looking across the field at these kids who are huge because they're almost all 8th graders. There are a couple 7th graders, but they're all 8th graders. Wow. They all play travel ball. Oh. One kid, no shit, has a beard.
Wait, stop.
Like a Sonny Bunch beard. Yeah, I am not kidding.
Probably better than mine.
I'm not kidding.
That's ridiculous. 8th grade? Oh, man.
So beard. Anyway, they have a bunch. This team had three or four. This team had three or four kids taller than me, and I'm 6'2". And we lost 4-0.
That's a respectable.
And I gotta tell you,
Barry, no, you were, you know, it's,
that feels like the winning the World Series.
Yeah.
I honestly thought we're gonna give up 12 runs an inning. Now there's some caveats, because of. A scheduling foul up on the part of the fancy school, not on the part of our school. The game was time limited to 1 hour, not 2 hours. And the other team, clearly, the other coach, clearly having watched us in warm-ups, mm-hmm. understood exactly what was going on. They were not playing to win. But on the other hand, neither were we. Mm-hmm. I didn't pitch Flash. Flash didn't pitch in this thing because I didn't want to, you know, we had an hour and I didn't want to roll him out there. I wanted other kids. I didn't want the coach's kid to be like, you know, who's your starting pitcher? The coach's kid. Mm-hmm. That's beat. So, we could have gone harder than we did. Obviously, they could have gone harder. We all went down 4-0. That's tough. We got runners on base.
I was going to
runners
ask
in scoring
you.
Position
so you had,
a couple
you had
times.
On base. That's great.
And it was, I felt, I coming away from this. I feel very confident that at least some team we run into, we will be able to beat. Because this was a this was essentially a travel league all-star team.
Yeah.
And, there's no world in which we would have beat them, probably, unless I just started Flash and made him throw until his arm fell off. But on the other hand...
How many innings do you get through in 1 hour?
In our case, two. Two innings. Not great. We didn't really even get the full hour because we started a little bit late. But the point is, we were basically competitive, and they pitched their best guy. So they pitched their actual number one starter, and we did not.
Was it scary to some of your players to face that?
Some of them were overmatched. They basically hung in. We got a couple hit by pitches, which was great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the boys very bravely didn't rub them, didn't touch the spot where they got hit, just dropped the bat and jogged down to first base. But I didn't play a couple of the fifth grade kids who have no experience before.
Oh, gosh.
Because I just thought, I am not comfortable putting you in the batter's box against an eighth grader who weighs 170 pounds, who's throwing like 60, 65. That's because these scary kids aren't, they just aren't ready to protect themselves.
No, you'll knock your head off or something.
So I feel bad because I want everybody to play, but also.
They're probably thankful they didn't have to face that, especially if they were good.
Maybe. Size. I mean, these kids, my little kids on this team, mm-hmm. they're little.
Yeah.
And they look, sure. you know, they look like they're closer to Charlie's age than they are to Flash's. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Victorino, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. As you know, we're reaching the tail end of Lent. So last weekend I went to confession.
Oh,
yes. I went to confession.
Best three hours of your life.
No. But we're going to get to this. I like not going to, you know, like one where like the priests, if I know they're going to be, you know, like if either they know you too well or you know they're particularly hard, I try to go to a different church, you know.
I don't go to confession anywhere where I know the priest.
Right, exactly. Or if I do, I use the screen and I talk in the dubbed voice, you know, like
the one for screen.
The Dateline. I put on the Dateline voice.
The people who are like, oh, it's father. Fine. You just like kneel next to father. Pass.
Yeah, it really depends. But here's the thing. So we get in there. I said, I want to get at, you know, get in early. But of course, there's a lot of other people there. And, there was at this point, there's just one priest, right? There's one priest. So guy goes in, eventually comes out. This old lady goes in. Now, you know where I'm going with this? Old lady goes in at least 15 minutes.
She had a lot to get off her.
That's what I'm wondering. Chest. I said, like, what on earth?
Were they doing it?
Well, 30 years ago, she killed her husband.
No, that's what I was going to say. I picture, you know what? I told this to Kate because she's. I leaned over. I go, right now, I'm wondering if she's saying to the priest, all right, well, they said it was going to be a clean hit, but it wasn't, you know? And there were some civilians, and I had to take care of them, too. And then, you know, I didn't have enough lime.
Father, I used arsenic.
Right. You know, I mean, like, really? 15 minutes? As opposed to me, when I go in, I know what I'm going to say. I am in and out.
You've done your examination of conscience.
You know what? I in and out lightning speed. Speaking of lightning speed, over the weekend, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 raced to the top of the box office with 72.
I told you.
$1 million, followed by Morbius in second place, which tacked on another $10.2 million, followed by The Lost City with $9 million. Box office thoughts. Let me just say this.
Is that a 77% drop? Yeah,
let me say this. 74. $10 million is a lot of money. That's all I'm going to say. You know what? We don't have $10 million. That's a lot of money. Good for Morbius. Racking it up. Box office thoughts, fellas.
I told you guys that there was something in the water on Sonic. That not only G-Money, but all of G-Money's friends and like every kid I knew under the age of nine was like hyped up at talking to each other about this movie.
A sequel.
The first one, I think, aged very well on streaming. The truth is, now that I've seen the first one 19 times, it's fine, actually. Like, of course, it's a mess and all that stuff, but it's kind of cute. And it's an actual movie. It's an actual movie with characters who have arcs. And there's a first act, a second act, and a third act. And it's, you know, it's not like a great movie, but it's a movie. And that and the weird persistence of Sonic in the culture as a character that people care about for reasons I don't understand. But they love it. He's on all the Nintendo games. He's a playable character. And
do you remember how they had to redo the graphics and stuff for Sonic? And it was like, oh my gosh, what a nightmare this is going to be and everything else.
What, it was because he had like people teeth, right?
Something like that.
Something like, or like his, he had weird teeth and people were like, how dare you besmirch
Well, it was
the
creepy.
Good name of Sonic.
The problem wasn't the fidelity of it. It was the creepiness of it. Like it didn't look fun. Yeah. It looked creepy.
Okay. So
I saw it. Did you boys see it?
You guys, you went to go see Sonic 2, JBL. You said it was terrible.
It's very bad.
Yeah, J-Pod said the same thing.
However, at one point, G-Money turned not just to me, but literally turns to the other dad sitting on the other side of him, a grown-ass adult who he has never met before, and G-Money exclaims to him, "Isn't this movie amazing?" And the guy who's there with his own, like, three kids under the age of seven looks at him, and honestly, he basically gives G-Money the Mad Max, like,
thumbs up.
That's the magic funny. Of the movies, baby.
that's right.
Bringing people together.
Yeah, that's right.
Love it. That's
but it was amazing. A absolutely packed auditorium in the big show at the Alamo. And
hey, almost I have a question, Jimmy.
Almost every showing was close to sold out.
JBL, does your season pass cover the big show?
There's a surcharge.
Okay.
It's like a dollar surcharge or something.
How is Jim Carrey?
He's barely in it.
Jim Carrey, who's retiring after this. He's done it all.
He's done enough. Yeah.
He's done it all.
He is barely in it. James Marsters is barely
in it. James Marsden.
Yeah. Marsden is barely in it. The very attractive woman who plays his wife is barely in it.
Is there another sort of main famous actor or no?
How about Knuckles?
Is basically a cartoon. I would say 80% of the movie is nothing but the animated characters interacting with each other.
Okay, and Morbius.
Oof. Yeah, Morbius dropped like a rock. So, I mean, 74%. 74% is very, very bad. I mean, it's worse than like X-Men, Dark Phoenix, and you know all sorts of terrible, terrible movies.
Do you remember Dark Phoenix? Because the trailers went on for I think 20 years until we.
I do remember. I know for a fact that I saw it. I couldn't tell you much about it.
Yeah, Game of Thrones girl and your sweetheart, Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain. In a very weird, not sure what's happening role.
Kind of hot.
There were things going on.
She wasn't Emma Frost, but she was some sort of like Hellfire.
No, she's an alien.
Oh, that's right. Aliens. That's right. Aliens.
Well, at the AMC, I had seen Morbius. They put it up in Auditorium 8, which is a big one, big theater. And then the next week when I went to see Everything Everywhere, it was at Auditorium 8, and then Morbius got shuttled down to like the basement. Yeah. You know,
I mean, it's an enormous, enormous drop. There were definitely people on Twitter who were like, oh, the critics are being too mean to this movie. It's so good. Fans love it. Fans will love it, and the critics hate it. And first off, it got a C+ from CinemaScore, which for a comic book movie is very bad. Yeah. But on top of that, it was clear. It was like all the exit polling, the rent track and everything was terrible. It was like a 40% recommend or some ridiculous number. So the fact that it drops 75%, you know, 74% or whatever, is not at all surprising. It's a bad movie that people don't like, and it's good that it is dropping down the charts. I don't understand. Again, I like the only reason for this movie to exist is to set up further Sony movies, and it does that so poorly that it is really just a failure on every level.
Six. Oh. That's what this is.
Eventually, give us
the Sinister Six movie that they were hoping to do with Jamie Foxx with Andrew Garfield.
Yes,
but they basically made
going back to that.
No Way Home is basically a Sinister Six movie.
Yeah, because you have the three guys.
They have a standalone Kraven movie coming. I mean, they have a Kraven the Hunter movie coming.
Who plays Kraven the Hunter?
Aaron Taylor Johnston.
I don't know. Who that is.
He's the guy. He was in. I think the first Godzilla, the one with Bryan Cranston. Remember, but he was also in Tenet. He was the British soldier. He was like the British commando at the end of the movie.
His companion, the other guy.
No, that was Robert Pattinson. Not Robert Pattinson.
Let's get to the real movie because there is a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Okay.
Everything, everywhere, all at once.
As we have been dropping hints throughout this episode, this is what we're discussing this week. Everything, everywhere, all at once. Strictly in theaters. Sonny, how about a big movie review?
Sonny, make Vic do it. Make Vic describe. Make him describe what the movie is.
Socratic dialogue about. So, Vic, Yes. Vic, what would you say? Describe to me the setup. Because it's the easiest part. Describe what is the set before we get to any of the sci-fi stuff.
A woman's
describe
life.
Describe to me the setup.
A woman's life is falling apart, both as a mother and as a wife and as a daughter. And she seems to be suffering.
And as a business owner.
And a businesswoman. And seems to be suffering some sort of midlife crisis, psychotic break, where she starts to hallucinate that there are other universes entering her life. And in fact, she's using this idea of a multiverse to reconcile all these contradictions. And in the end, finds peace by sticking with her husband, who she was thinking of divorcing. The end.
Okay, that's a read on it. That's a, you know, I don't want to say that you're bringing your own things into this.
I just think that
it's
like
a movie
okay,
about Kate.
You know,
it's a movie about a woman who right. is settled right. and she needs to realize that she's happier having settled.
That is, you know what? I thought about it because it's a movie about choices and decisions, and you do wonder what happens if you didn't do this, you didn't do that. There's lots of things, and I think about this not to get off because I want to get back to, you know, the big boy review. But, you know, if I didn't agree to go with Kate to her brother's wedding, or if I ended up not, you know, she or I went to another school instead of Georgetown, but it's Northwestern or something. And then what? And I think for her, she probably still would have ended up with somebody very successful and handsome. And I think I probably would still be probably an intern coordinator somewhere.
No. No, you are Kate's final destination.
Oh, okay. Well,
there was no way. There was no way she was going to be able to duck you. No matter what choices she made, you were coming for her.
There's that theory, and that is also ties into Everything Everywhere, where she's very successful and yet still meets him and still wants to. There was an episode of Mad About You exactly about this. Okay, go. I'm done.
All right, so Michelle Yeoh stars as Evelyn Wang, who is, as Vic mentions, a woman whose life is kind of falling apart. Her husband, who's played by Ki Hui Kwan, a.k.a. Short Round from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and also Data from Goonies. He plays her husband. He wants to divorce her because he's unhappy. She is also unhappy. She is, you know, kind of miserable at running the laundromat. Her daughter, who's played by Stephanie Hsu in this movie, who her name is Joy. She is a lesbian, and she doesn't want Evelyn does not want her father to learn that Joy is a lesbian. The father is played by the great James Hong. The great James Hong. He gets a great. You know, Michelle Yeoh gets a great too. The great Michelle Yeoh, great James Hong. Anyway, in the midst of all of this, the tax woman has cometh for the laundromat because they have been taking excessive expense deductions. Made me sweat a little bit because I was thinking about, you know, the fact that I wrote off every trip to the Alamo Draft House last year, you know, because that's all business. Yeah, it's all business, baby.
Somebody's
you know,
gonna pay a visit to your home office.
Jamie Lee Curtis is excellent in that role. And in the midst of all that, we find out there's a multi-dimensional, interdimensional crisis. The multiverse is on verge of collapse because an evil entity known as Jobu Tapaki has been running rampant through the multiverse, trying to kill everyone, infecting it with her nihilistic rage about the emptiness of life and existence in a world where if everything can happen, nothing really matters. So that's the basic setup. Michelle Yeoh's character, Evelyn, she has to...
You're making it sound much more linear than it actually is.
Well, so this is... I'm trying to explain the basic thrust of the plot before I get to what the movie actually is. And what the movie actually is a live-action multiverse cartoon. It's something like Rick and Morty crossed with a Tex Avery cartoon. Because the thing about this film is that... I don't know how many of our listeners actually watch Rick and Morty, but Rick and Morty is this really amazingly good animated show on Cartoon Network. It's extremely popular, millions and millions of people. It's like one of the most popular shows on basic cable. That show is basically just steeped in complete cynicism. It is an absolutely cynical, you know, look at the multiversal world and also like what it means to be alive. This movie is the opposite of that. This movie is like very heartfelt and genuine, almost like I have had people describe it as treacly. And I think that it is not an unfair thing to say, but the treacle is totally leavened by the insane, goofy silliness of it. I mean, it is a movie that mashes up film genres. I mean, they're switching between from The Matrix to like Wong Kar Wai dramas to, again, literal cartoons to
Crouching Tiger.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragons type stuff to there's a Ratatouille reference, Raccoonie, which is very funny. But all of this kind of gets thrown into a blender, mixed up, cut, splice, and just thrown back in audiences' faces at about 100 beats per minute. I mean, it is a fast paced. To describe the film as experimental is not correct exactly, but it is experimenting with how much you can mix and match genres before people bail on the thing. I love this movie. I really think it is wonderful. I as a fairly cynical person, I found myself unexpectedly moved by it. And as a lover of film, I loved how the directors, who are known collectively as Daniels, it's a two director team, how they put this thing together, how they mixed and matched genres. And again, it is just laugh out loud funny. The theater I was in was constantly rolling. I don't know about you guys. I don't know what your experiences were
like.
There were definitely
laughs.
It was a big hit where I was. I loved it. I found it both funny and touching, and really well done. And I love the action and I love the comedy. It's a hair too long, probably. That's the only complaint I would have with it. Anyway, loved it.
Victorino.
I love this movie.
JVL.
Tell me your quadrants.
I want to know. Okay, fine. But then I want to get to you. I'll give you my quadrants, and then I want to flip to you about what you think, because our listeners don't have the benefit of the video that we get to see people's expressions, and yours is very cryptic. So I gave the plot a B. You'd be surprised. Why is it a B? Because post-Marvel, anything can be explained by multiverse. Oh, why is this? Oh, it's multiverse. Oh,
I cannot believe that this gets a B. The quadrants are a lie.
Now, why would you say an F or an A?
From where you sit on plot?
Oh, well, again, I've been watching
this thing. F-.
No.
I texted Sonny as I got out of the theater. I said, I can't wait to hear Vic give the plot score.
It's a B because who are all these people? Oh, they're just different people from multiverse. That's the answer. The answer is multiverse. It's a catch-all now. So, okay. Well, I mean, it's kind of a cheat, but I mean, okay. So whenever I didn't understand something,
it can't be a cheat if that's, it cannot be a cheat if that's the whole premise of the film. If the premise of the film is that.
Why is this happening? Who are these? Oh, multiverse. Okay. So that's all. I just kept on going back to that. And that helped me get through 2 hours and 19 minutes.
Explain to folks how does the multiverse hopping actually work? What is the actual mechanics of it?
That part is never explained, but it's never explained in any Marvel movie.
Explain the everything bag.
Yeah, it's multiverse. Duration C minus. Duration
B.
C minus.
It's a B. He doesn't understand any of it, but it's
action,
a B.
Yeah, multiverse. Okay, fine. They're just other dimensions that come into play, and here they are. Okay, actually, it's all in her head. Oh, okay, so then none of this really matters. Solid dream.
It's
dream.
Dallas.
Yeah, it's Dallas. It's why?
Saint Elsewhere.
It's not. Yeah, or the end of Saint Elsewhere. It's the little snow globe. Okay. Action violence, I gave it an A. It was entertaining, and it was, and there were parts of it that were funny, including using the fanny pack as a weapon. Very funny.
That was great.
But I do feel that it was just too long. So, I mean, if it's just tighter, it'll be better. Sex nudity, I gave it a C. It got some bonus points for sex toys. It's pretty funny, including the pixelated part where the guy hops on the thing.
I love that.
Let's just say the thing. The idea.
The pixelation.
Yeah.
makes the joke funnier.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. It would not have been. And so those are the quadrants. JVL.
Yeah, what did you think? You know, I got a weird conflict. So I took Shannon.
I took Kate.
We went on a date.
Same.
I was glad you took Kate actually, because I said to Sonny, I said, I hope he brought Kate.
That might be why I gave it a B, because I think I figured it out on my own. But in fact, she was just telling me throughout the movie what was happening.
Okay. How many times did you ask her? How many times did you let me know and say, who is that?
Continue, JVL.
I don't know if I liked it, but I loved it, if that makes sense. And I don't know that I would see it again, but maybe I would, and maybe this will reward repeated viewing, and I'm sure that many film school candidates will write dissertations on this thing. It will become an absolute cult classic. It is wildly original, even though it's derivative, and
it wears its influences on its sleeve.
Yeah, and sure. It's just joyous. Am I wrong to say that just like it is an unapologetic, it's a production by people who love film and who are celebrating film while telling this crazy story that maybe all hangs together or maybe doesn't, or maybe is intentionally left so open that you could interpret it in 500 different ways. You really could interpret it with the Vic Mattis, you know, nothing, it's all a dream, if you wanted to. And it's original, and it looks great. It looks like $1 million, even though I assume this is like a $40 million movie.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
$25 million.
I mean,
movie was made for nothing,
relatively
speaking.
This is what we want movies to be. Mm-hmm. That I guess is what I would say. Is when we talk about the movies and what we care about with movies, why they matter to us, why we want them to be saved. It's because of this. And stuff like this that doesn't work as like a streaming show.
Yeah.
Think about what this would look like on your TV, right? I mean, it just...
No, it wouldn't. I was curious about how well it's doing because everybody's talking about it. It is now becoming critically acclaimed. But it hasn't made a lot of money because it's not in a lot of theaters.
Well, it opened... I mean, it opened 3 weekends ago... So this, by the time people are listening to this, it'll be its fourth Friday, mm-hmm. I think. The first weekend, it was only playing in New York and L.A. Second weekend, it was playing in New York, L.A., Austin, Chicago, D.C., a couple other places. This last weekend, it was in 1,200 screens. I think it's going to be in more.
It's going to go wider.
This weekend's going to be 1,500, 1,800 screens, mm-hmm. something like that. So it's doing a fairly traditional platform release where, you know, it opens in the cities. It does really well with critics. I think it's 97 or 96% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. And I don't know what the... there isn't a cinema score yet because it hasn't played on enough screens to qualify for a cinema score rating. But my understanding is that the tracking is all very, very good. Oh, yeah. It's the sort of movie that I kind of expected, frankly, more people to really hate. I expected this movie to be kind of one of these films where like 80% of the people give it an A and 20% give it an F.
Not
much in the middle.
Nobody who loves movies could hate it, I don't think. You don't have to fall in love with it, but you can't hate it.
Yeah.
It's just too earnest in its celebration of cinema and its love of cinema.
But it's so weird. It's so weird.
Well,
it is a very, very weird movie. It is a very, people are describing it, I don't like this term, but people are describing it as maximalist cinema, which is a, you know, is a, I think a, it is, it comes across as derisive because it feels like they're trying to, you know, reduce it to a thing, which is this kind of scattershot shotgun approach to filmmaking. I don't think it is that. But it is, there's a lot going on here. I wouldn't blame folks for like really being put off by the muchness of it.
This is a film that is not trying to overwhelm you with the muchness. It's inviting you into it. I just think it's a very welcoming feel.
I agree. So your guys' theaters were into it?
The moment I chuckled. I didn't really laugh out loud, but the part I probably was most amused by was when you got to the hot dog finger situation where everybody's in the alternate universe where people's fingers are hot dogs, and you're and they're trying to figure out how the hell did this happen, and they do a 2001 riff.
That was hysterical. Where
the actual, you know, with opposable, did you know those they died, they yeah. lost the battle, and then the apes with the hot dog,
the big feet,
they won that.
It was very funny. The thing I love most about it actually is the choice to center this idea around a laundromat and taxes, because those are the two most eternal things that exist in our day-to-day lives, right? There are always taxes every year, and there's just always more laundry. And when you are talking about the, because this movie, it really is there. It's a fractal, right? It's endlessly recursive. You know, you focus on any little bit and it looks like the whole of it. And the ideas of laundry and taxes fall to that so perfectly that it just, I don't know. I just admire the care in which those choices were made. I literally wrote down to myself, how is it that this movie got made without casting Awkwafina in it? Because doesn't Awkwafina gets cast in everything?
She would have been the daughter.
No. Then I went to,
she was
the daughter. And I went to, and I, really? It's funny because so she was cast as the daughter. I don't know. Maybe Sonny does. But Stephanie Hsu.
There was a conflict.
Who is fantastic in this. And I would have.
Maybe the best thing in the movie.
I would have hated Awkwafina in this. I don't like her presence. I'm sure she's a wonderful human being. I don't like her screen presence.
In movies that we've seen.
Stephanie Hsu, I think, is actually the best thing in the movie. And she's just fabulous. And it's one of these, thank God Awkwafina got too busy because she had to go star in a bunch of Marvel movies or something. Because Stephanie Hsu, who I've never heard of before, is just fab. And the other thing, Sonny, did you go to an Alamo?
I did.
Did you get there early?
No. So I went to a preview. There was no pre-roll. It was just like they didn't have like the pre-show.
So a big part of the we got there pretty early because it was date night, and there was probably a 15-minute pre-roll, which was just an extended interview with Michelle Yao, and it was fantastic. So she was a ballerina. So she had studied ballet in England and then went to Hong Kong, I think. And her first bit of casting, she's 22 years old in a commercial for this fashion watch, like, you know, which has like some French like name. Mm-hmm. And it is her and Jackie Chan.
Yeah. That's funny.
Isn't that fantastic?
Oh, she must be old now.
And so she then got cast with like Sammo Hung. And got into all of his movies, and it was largely because of her ballet background that she just picked up the intense and very, you know, Baroque choreography for the fight stuff was very easy for her because she was intensely flexible and was just used to, you know, being at a bar, seeing somebody do a bunch of positions and just, you know, repeating it. Anyway, it was just fabulous. The whole Michelle Yao 15 minutes was honestly worth the price of the ticket all by itself. She's fascinating and great.
That's good. That sounds like a nice little treat if you go to Alamo. We got another trailer for Dark Phoenix, I guess. I don't know when it's coming out, but
did you get the new Top Gun trailer?
Oh, that is fantastic. The one, okay. Well,
that's what Vic's looking forward to.
Is it. I haven't been looking forward to a movie. That's coming up.
800 hours of footage.
I have great concerns because they show Val Kilmer as an admiral. And I get the story. I already know what's happening. But is he in the movie or just not? Just his picture, his portrait.
Don't know.
Because of the thing.
You know, maybe he's like Grand Moff Tarkin. The Grand Moff Tarkin. Maybe
another voice. They put another animated voice on him.
Well, animated, right? You know, put him in.
I hope not. But it looks great, and I hope it's because they actually use jets the way they did in 86. Tell me they did.
They do.
Oh, thank God. I'm so CGI'd out.
Sunny, do you love all the Sammo Hung stuff? Are you a Hong Kong cinema
devotee? I'm honestly not a big Hong Kong martial arts guy. I find it all pretty... I'll put it this way. Anytime I watch it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is good. This is well done. But it has just never been the sort of stuff I'm into.
So I see why people are so into it. And a big part of it is because, again, Michelle Yeoh talked about this. She said, you know, it was very much a grindhouse scene. And it was being put out by these guys who, I mean, there is no USC film school in Hong Kong in the period, right? It is all piratical. It is, you know, guys who just want to make movies. And, you know, they got their friends, they can get their hands on a camera and like, let's just go shoot it. You know, we'll shoot it in 3 weeks and we'll just use our friends and quick and dirty. And I get that. Like, there's an energy to it, which is great, and which you would appreciate.
That energy is in this movie. I mean, a lot of this stuff, the Daniels talked about this in one of the interviews, one of the million interviews that they've done for this movie. Yeah. But they were talking about how, like, the fight choreographers on this film were just guys who learned it from watching YouTube videos, who learned, like, watching like choreography from YouTube and like watch tons of movies and figured out, you know, kind of how to break it down scene by scene and shot by shot and do it that way. You know, it has that sort of kinetic energy to it. And again, I like Jackie Chan. I like Sammo Hung. They are fine talents. It just has never been my scene.
So Sonny, I watch the old ones. What I watch were the Bruce Lee ones.
Oh, the Bruce Lee, yeah.
Fists of Fury, also known as the Big Boss, and then Return of the Dragon, End of the Dragon. Even though Return of the Dragon came first, then End of the Dragon, the Chinese Connection, which I think was after Fists of Fury, and then Game of Death, which was not finished because of.
So, Sonny, tell me if this sounds crazy to you, but Everything Everywhere All at Once felt to me like a movie that in an alternate universe, Quentin Tarantino could have directed early in his career.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely that sort of pastiche vibe to it.
But again, pastiche born of love, right? And there's an energy to it and a vivaciousness.
The closest Tarantino equivalent would be the Kill Bill movies, the two Kill Bill films.
But even those are much more self-important. I mean, you got to go back to like early Tarantino.
In fact, when Evelyn meets her sensei in the alternative universe, which was very funny about how did she become a martial arts.
Everything
expert,
is kung fu. This right. cookie is kung fu.
The woman that reminded me of, I think it was a woman, but reminded me of the of Uma Thurman's sensei in Kill Bill.
Yeah,
the white hair.
I don't know. I liked it. Maybe I would go see it again. I don't know.
I am definitely going to go see it again. I came out of the theater almost
weeping?
Woozy.
Were you weeping?
I was
discharge.
I was going to say,
weeping.
People say, when people who, I hear this a lot and seeing the reaction to this movie about people who cried, what part of it are they crying about?
I mean, I think it's a movie about parents and children. I mean, like I can see that. It's a movie about, you know, trying to make the best world for your children and like not quite being able to do it or not quite connecting with them. And realize, I don't know, man. It's very much a vibes film, right? That's what everybody, the vibes, mm-hmm. vibe shift. The vibe mm-hmm. shift is vibe towards shift. Positivity, positive thinking. But no, I came out of the theater, like, I have not felt that way coming out of a theater since the first Matrix, since the original Matrix. Like, that movie.
Well, and there's a Matrix element to this as well, because what is reality? The bagel concept, the everything bagel.
It's not really what is reality, Vic. Never mind.
Again, no. It was pretty interesting. It was pretty easy to understand in my universe. I guess I didn't really think too deeply about it. But, you know, I mean, what is, I don't know. Is any of this real? I don't know. It was like a philosophy class. I thought it was just okay. I feel like so many of these people are
really?
Yeah.
Sonny, we found one.
I know. It's rare.
There you go,
Sonny. 2-1-1-2-3-3-0-1-2-2-1.
I thought you were going to like it, Vic.
I feel sad for these people. It's like, you know, particularly the daughter or I guess, and in the embodiment of Jobu. These are people who are not, they're lost. And these are terrible times. But I think for these people who are going through the last 2 or 3 years, and I don't know, personally for me, it's like, if you're not grounded in anything, in any particular faith, whatever,
it's like you're looking
for an answer for order in the universe and meaning in life. And that's where Jobu is like, there is none, you know, there is. It's the multiverse.
It's not the multiverse. It's the family, man. She doesn't find order in the multiverse. She finds order in connection with her mother. But what's interesting is another friend of mine, one of the other few conservative film critics I know, a guy named Victor Morton, he hated this movie, hated it. And he is a very religious person. And his problem with the movie was mostly ontological. He simply could not accept the multiverse element to it. And I wonder if that's part of your problem
Yeah, it's the idea of God forbid we're special. We can't possibly be alone. There's other versions of us. Because then how do we explain that we're the only people in the universe right now in these conditions? It's sort of very weird. And there's other versions. So then we're not special. This is the Rock. This is the Jobu as the Rock was saying that, you know, we used to think we were the center of the universe, but we're not. And we thought the sun was the center of it. It's not. We're just one of many millions. We are nothing. And then she goes off the cliff. And
but,
I'm like,
but know, the whole point of the movie is not that we are
that's
nothing.
Right. No, that's
it's
right.
It's that we are something.
No, this is why I'm saying it's, you know, it was, I felt sad because, you know, she's lost.
Victor, you understand that
she
the,
is lost.
The multiverse
that is sad.
Metaphor.
Yes. No.
Right.
It's all in her
multiverse
head.
The
whole,
is
thing,
a,
the is whole a, thing is in her head anyway because she's having
a metaphor for a way to talk about families and the way that intergenerational trauma is passed. This is basically half Matrix and half Encanto.
Can you give me a Big Trouble in Little China? That's easy to understand with the great James
Hong. But
this
has that too.
With the great James
Hong. This has the Big Trouble in Little China stuff. I mean, this is what I find very fascinating is that it's a movie that is, it's never slow. Mm-hmm. It is filled with action. It is filled with comedy. It is filled with references to movies that you like. Mm-hmm. It seems like the sort of thing you would.
I think
you
I'm
would
just getting tired
into.
Of watching movies.
CGI overload, but there's not a CGI overload.
There's no CGI. There's no CGI.
I was
in
waiting
this movie.
For Vic to complain about CGI overload, but it's.
Yeah, no, you know.
You know, just get the old man Green Mile.
What did Kate think?
Just get the old man Green Mile.
She thought it was interesting. She thought it was interesting.
Shannon really liked it. What did Beth think?
She hasn't seen it.
No. I was shocked that Shannon liked it and pleased, pleasantly so.
The everything bagel concept is also very interesting. The more you put on it, the less it tastes like anything, and then it's nothing. By the way, invented by Joe Bastianich.
You realize it's not a literal bagel, right?
You guys are way too sophisticated for me. I think you need somebody smarter than me on this show.
Vic just wants his widows.
I just don't give a shit of these fucking movies. I'm tired. I gotta take I need 6 months off and I'll come back and maybe it'll be better movies. I can't do this anymore. This is I hate going to the theater and seeing these movies that I just don't give a shit about.
Wow. We're having a whole breakdown on the show.
Right. That's here exciting. On the show before. I'm just so tired of these fucking movies.
Did you like Encanto?
No, of course not. I did like Tokyo Vice. But that's the bonus.
That's a tease.
It is.
Just the tip.
Do you have any other thoughts on everything everywhere happening all over the place? Really complex, deep metaphors of life. And women, whatever it is, I don't know. I'm just I'm looking at it.
You like Deep Water.
Yeah, Deep Water was, for obvious reasons. Which, by the way, my dad, I'm on the phone with him today, and I says, what are you watching these days? And he goes, I saw Deep Water. And I said, really? What did you think? He goes, that wife is crazy. I said, yes, she is. So there you go.
I don't even really remember what Deepwater was. What? Oh, it was the girl from
Affleck.
The Ben Affleck
and Anna de Armas.
Yeah, I'd already forgotten.
They all blend together. Paul Crookston was asking me, you know, like, was this the Morbius? Was that worse than Moonfall? I said, what's Moonfall? Okay. Do you have any other thoughts? Anything else?
No.
Okay.
We need to get you some brain pills.
Spirit of the week, corrections, shout-outs.
I don't have anything.
You guys are way too sophisticated.
I'm sorry.
That's all the time we're giving to this episode.
I, you know.
What? Go ahead, Sonny.
I'm mostly just worried about your memory now. I know.
Questions, comments. I told you I forgot Gene Shalit's last name. Questions, comments, compliments. Tweet us at Sonny Bunch, at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon, blah, blah, blah. Just go to Subbeacon. We're there. Tell your friends. Until next time.
Sand. Harry.
Sand. I'm so tired. I will tell you, you know, Asian women, not really my thing. And yet that joy, I found her intriguing.
That's interesting.
I found her intriguing.
As the agent of chaos, Jobu Tapaki, or as Joy?
As Joy-ish. Okay. I don't know.
The costuming on Jobu Tapaki throughout the movie
original.
Is sensational. Yeah. It's so great. I like when she's as the golfer is again so many levels, and then there's like as
that
a
was, she looked great
manga video game character. It's fantastic. Vic, I'm worried about you. Are you all right, buddy? Maybe you need a glass of red wine.
No, I'm just sick of seeing movies. I really am.
Week off from work. Hey, go on a vacation. Go down to Disney.
I'm not going to Disney. Okay. I'm sure it's fine.